Blog Talk Radio.
Stevie B's Media Production is a part of the Shellcaster Network.
The proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ by members of the Churches of Christ with your host, Stevie R. Butler. You're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show.
You are my protector and you are my provider and my deliverer. There's no other help I know. You are my protector and you are my provider and my deliverer.
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show.
Good evening, wherever you are in the world listening to this radio broadcast. Stevie B's Media Production presents What a Word from the Lord radio show. I'm your host, Stevie R. Butler, and this radio show is being broadcast from Stevie B's Media Production studio in the great state of North Carolina. Ladies and gentlemen, we are just grateful for the privilege to bring you a program where we as Christians and members of the Churches of Christ can share our faith and preach and teach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ on a weekly basis. If you'd like to contact us while we're on the air, you can give me a call to the live show at 713-955-0508. If you have any questions or comments for any of my special guests on this radio show, you can send your emails to my new email address, butlersteve1009@yahoo.com. You can call Stevie B's Media Production Studio at 910-491-6405. Now, again, this program is brought to you by members of the Churches of Christ. And if you need any assistance in locating a congregation in your area, please feel free to contact us. Now, folks, get out your Bibles and study along with us here on What a Word from the Lord radio show.
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show.
Before we go into our program for this evening, I would ask that you would bow with me in a word of prayer that we may thank God for this opportunity. Our most kind, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us to go through the various activities of the day and placing it on our hearts that we are on this broadcast and we're prepared now to present a portion of your holy and divine word. Father, we pray that you will be my special guest speaker on the show, as well as my co-host, Jason Wiley, as well as my co-host, Issa Mullins, as they break unto our listeners the bread of life. And we also ask your blessings upon my special guest in the community corner, Cassandra Farmer, as she serves our community as well with her various talents and gifts to uplift our neighbors. We pray that you would bless them and their families that are supporting their efforts as well. Father, we pray that you would bless our listeners who are tuning in this radio broadcast through Blog Talk Radio as well as through social media. We pray that they may listen well and that they may consider their eternal stance before you and that their hearts may be pricked. And it will cause them to ask the question, what must I do to be saved? Father, we thank you so much for sending your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We are just so grateful for his precious sacrifice on Calvary's cross. For without such a sacrifice, we would not have a hope of eternal life. Father, even now, we ask that you would forgive us for the transgressions of our own heart. We know our flesh is weak, and we often fall short of your will. Father, we pray that you will continue to bless us and keep us and love us all the days of our lives. And if we have been faithful unto death, Father, we pray that you would save us. For it's in Christ's name we do ask it all. Amen.
You are listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to the broadcast this evening. In the first segment, my special guest speaker is Jason Wiley. He serves as the evangelist with the Inland Church of Christ there in Southern California, and he'll be making his proclamation of the gospel of Christ. Jason's been on this show before, so we always look forward to having him on this broadcast. He always does a great job when he comes our way. Also in the community corner, my special guest is Cassandra Farmer. She's from Gastonia, North Carolina. She's the author of a new book entitled Life, Love, and Legacy. So we're looking forward to hearing a word from Cassandra in regards to her new book. And in the last segment, my co-host is Issa Mullins. He serves with me at the Helen Street Church of Christ here in Fayetteville, Carolina. He'll be making his proclamation of the gospel of Christ to close out the show. So open up your Bibles and open your minds, and let's have a great show. After the break, the next voice you'll be that of my special guest speaker, Jason Wiley. Enjoy the show.
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show.
It ain't easy. Sometimes it gets hard down here, Lord. Sometimes it gets rough. Has anybody been lonely all by yourself? Has anybody been sad, broken hearted and sad? Have you even been mad? Oh, you had to cry all night.
Trouble time will come in your life, but you got to wait.
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show. Give your attention to the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Now, my special guest speaker, Jason Wiley, and his subject is Time to Celebrate.
Amen, and greetings to everyone. I'd like to thank Brother Butler and the rest for inviting me on this show this afternoon. And I guess for you all on the East Coast, I'll say evening, and I'll say greetings to everyone. It's always an honor and a privilege to focus on the Word of God, to hear the Word of God, to teach the Word of God, even to have the Word of God in our possessions. For we know, according to Romans chapter 1 and verses 16, along with many other scriptures, that the Word of God is considered the power of God. And as long as we have the power of God, we are reminded that if God can be for us, who can be against us, according to Romans chapter 8. And my subject for today, as Brother Butler has stated before, is it's time to celebrate. It's time to celebrate. The battle is already won, especially dealing in a time like we're facing today with this pandemic. I have spoken to several people, and many are down because many have been locked down for the past year. And not only have they been locked down, but I'm noticing many telling me, Brother Wiley, I'm starting to feel lonely. Many other issues people are dealing with today. We have all these health scares and health issues going on because of this pandemic. We have all these deaths that are happening by the boatload. But I maintain it's time to celebrate. The battle is already won. Hopefully something that I say can encourage somebody during this time. And before I get started, a question in the form of a statement that I always like to ask people when I present the Word of God, especially when dealing with hard times. Many times when talking to people, I'll say, what's the worst thing that can happen to you as a faithful believer? Many times people will say, the worst thing that can happen to you as a faithful believer is to die and go to hell. But that's impossible, because as long as you're a faithful believer, hell will never be for you. Then after they make that statement, I'll say, now what's better? Or what would you prefer? To wake up in the morning and deal with all these devils again? Or for the Lord to just come on home? No more aching, no more crying, no more sorrow and trouble. Just come on home. When you look at it that way, I believe, listeners, we'll choose the latter, because we'll be with the Lord. We'll be resting. We'll be in that place where we don't have to worry about troubles and about sorrows, because everything that we face is only down here on this earth. This world, like the song, is not my home. I'm just passing through. I'm just here to encourage somebody before the Maker said, your job is complete, my well done and faithful servant. It's time to come home. But if the worst thing that can happen to you is to wake up in the morning, that's still a blessing. So where are you going, Brother Wiley? If you remain faithful, if you remain devoted and focused to the Lord, it's impossible not to be blessed. And even when things don't go according to our likings, we understand that that's only temporary. And that for the rest of our life, we have to experience heartaches, trauma, and trouble. Understand that life is as a vapor. You're here today, and you're gone tomorrow. If you please, turn with me today to the sixth chapter of Judges. We're going to be looking scarcely through several verses of Judges chapter 6 and 7. Judges chapter 6 and 7. Now, starting at verses 1, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them to the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And Israel, because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens, which are in the mountains, and caves and strongholds. So it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and all the children of the east, and they came up against them, and they encamped against them, and destroyed the increase of the earth, till they came to Gaza, and left no substance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass, for they came with their cattle and their tents, and came as grasshoppers for the multitude, and for they both their camels, and without number. And they entered into the land to destroy it. A few more verses. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel and said to them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you from the house of bondage. We're going to continue in a few moments. But something I want us to look at, Israel, the children of Israel, which we know was Jacob. We know the story going back to the latter part of Genesis into the first chapter of Exodus. For Jacob wrestled what he believed was a man at night. According to Hosea, we see that that was not no ordinary man, that was an angel, and he prevailed. The angel touched Jacob's side, and Jacob said, I'm not going to let you go until you tell me what your name is, and until you bless me. He said, surely not, but your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel. You see, two letters in Israel, L, represents the name of the Lord God. And Israel prevailed. When you put God and you put prevail, now you got the strength of God of the prevail. God prevails. And from that moment on, Jacob's name was changed to Israel, which means those who came after Jacob through his 12 sons or the 12 tribes would be known as the Israelites. Shortly after, Israel ends up in the land of Egypt. We know through his son Joseph, who became second in command to Potiphar. Jacob, who we know is Israel, and his 11 brothers all ended up in Egypt. And Pharaoh of Egypt at that particular time had respect for Joseph, had respect for the people of Israel, as well as the God that the Israelites served. But according to the first chapter of Exodus, over a period of time, the next Pharaoh started to come and go. The next Pharaoh, by this time, we get to Exodus chapter 1, no longer knew about this Joseph. So if he no longer knew about this Joseph, that means he no longer knew about this God who Joseph or his people served. You had more Israelites in the land of Egypt than you had Egyptians, but yet the Pharaoh no longer knew about this Joseph, nor the God that Joseph served. Because it seems as if when the Israelites came to a place called Egypt, over a period of years, they began to conform to the ways of the Egyptians. We know according to the third chapter of Galatians, looking at verses 16 down to 25, it was because of sin that they were taken captive while they were in Egypt. We know Moses delivered them out of the hands of Pharaoh, and they traveled in the wilderness. And we know, according to the book of Joshua, right before Judges, they had made it into this promised land. So God is reminding them, I delivered you out of Egypt, and I delivered you out of the house of bondage. But yet, when you look at verses 1 of Judges, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. From my study in the scriptures, every time God seems to deliver some people, they go right back into doing evil again and again. Then when you get to verses number 2, after it said they will be delivered into the hands of the Midian, and it said, and the hand of the Midian prevailed against Israel, because the Midianites, the children of Israel, made them dens and caves and strongholds. And it was so when Israel had seen the Midianites come up and the Amalekites, Israel was seeing all these people coming against them. Israel had a reputation being God's people. And when Israel went to battle, it was God who was going to battle for them. It was God who was fighting for them. Israel had a reputation of prevailing in battles that they had went into. This is how they were able to conquer the land of Canaan. This is how they were able to survive between the wilderness, the few who made it over into the promised land up until this point. But they became wicked in the sight of the Lord. And because they became wicked in the sight of the Lord, they were about to be wasted and slaughtered at the hands of the Midianites, and the others will join in this party. Now, the same Israel who became wicked in the sight of the Lord, look at verse number 6. And Israel was greatly impoverished because the Midianites, because the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried to the Lord because the Midianites. Now you want to cry, but you want to be disobedient. You don't want to follow my instructions. You don't want to obey my commands. The reason I gave you these instructions and commands, which we know as the law, which we know as the old covenant, which we know as the statutes and the command and the judgment, I gave it to you to keep you in line, because you are so sinful, I have to create something to give to you as your schoolmaster. Once again, Galatians chapter 3, verses 19 through 21 in particular. But you wanted to disobey my statutes and my judgments. We know according to Isaiah 59, the first verse, when we sin, we are separated from God because God is holy. God is light. You can't have darkness and light at the same. So because of that, Israel was delivered into the hands of the Midianites. And at this particular time, they want to cry to the Lord, the same Lord that they chose not to obey. Now, skipping down to verse number 11, we're going to look at a man named Gideon, a great champion for the Lord. And Gideon came, and there came an angel unto the Lord and sat under the oak, which is in Ophrah, and pertaining to Joash and the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the wine press to the Midianites, to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with thee, a mighty man of valor. The Lord is with thee. That's one reason we should be celebrating. The Lord is with thee. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then has all this befallen us? According to verse number 1, because my people were wicked in the sight of the Lord. Many times innocent people do go through hardship. But also you have to remember, sometimes we go through hardship because of the sins we have committed. So Gideon is asking the Lord, if you are with me, then why is all this befalling on us? Why is all of this happening to us? And where be all these miracles which our fathers told us of? Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. So for the first time in Israel's life, now they begin to feel like the rest of the people. God had to humble them. Just like you were defeating everybody else because of their sinful ways, now you're about to be defeated because of your sinful ways. And the Lord looked unto him, verse 14, and said, go this and thy night, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee? That's another reason to celebrate. Not only am I with you, but I have put the Midianites, I have put those who oppose you, I have put those who are in your way. I have put those who you call an enemy into your hands, because not only are they your enemy, they are my enemy. Because if I am with you, that means wherever you go, I go. Whoever opposes you because you are with me and belong to me, that means you oppose the Lord. And I will deliver them into your hand. So two reasons so far to celebrate. And he said unto them, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh. I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said to them, if now then, show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray, until I come unto thee and bring forth my present and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went up and went in and made a ready of kid and leavened cakes, and an ephah of flour and flesh, and put it in a basket, and put the broth in the pot, and brought it unto him under the oak and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them on this rock. Pour out the broth. And he did so. And the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff, which was in his hand, and touched the flesh of the unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire in the rocks and consumed all the flesh of the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. So the Lord is going to continue to show him that I am with you and I can do what not even you or anybody else can do. They say a miracle is something that is impossible for man to do. The salvation that we attain today, everything that the Lord has given us is something that is impossible for man to do. So this is another reason to celebrate. Verse 22, and when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, a messenger of the Lord, Hebrew word malak. For because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face, and the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Now, why is that so important? Just like Jacob, when he wrestled that man at night, and we see according to the book of Hosea that that man happened to be none other than an angel. We know the angel means messenger. And when you look at the bottom of it, this was the one who was the creator, who is a messenger, the one who was being sent from the Father to and fro. From the book of Genesis, people think Jesus just came into existence in the book of Matthew. But before he was Jesus, we know that in the beginning was the Word, John chapter 1. We know that the Word, the Spirit and the Father are one, 1 John 5 and 7. He's been coming up and down all these years. He's the same one that was dancing in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So when he recognized that he saw him face to face, he knew that can't no one see God face to face and live. But he was marveled. And look at the verse 23 again. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Jacob built an altar there before the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. Unto this day, it is yet in the Oprah of the Abizurites. And it came to pass that same night that the Lord said to him, take thy father's bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, cut it down from the grove that is by it, and build an altar of the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place. And take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood grove, which shall be cut down. So the Lord is saying, now you have requested that I do something. Now I'm going to request that you do something. Not only were my people Israel wicked in my sight and evil in my sight, but they began to serve other gods in my sight. We know that God is a jealous God. We know at one time God was married to Israel. Israel cheated on God, who they were married to. So God is telling Gideon, I want you to take down who your people looked up to as God, Baal. And I want you to make an altar and a burnt offering and sacrifice and put me upon this altar. You're going to take down this falsity of what people look up as God, and you're going to put me on this pedestal. Because what I'm about to do for you, no one can do but God. When you get to verses 27, then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord said to him. So it was because he feared his father's household that the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, so he did it by night. Long story short, through the rest of this chapter, the men rose up and they saw that someone took down their God. And when they found out who it was, they went to Joash and said, bring out your son. We're going to kill him. He has destroyed our God. They were more upset at that than they were of realizing that that was a false God. They got so used to worshiping this false God, they got so used to going in this wrong direction for so long that it became normal to them. When you get to verse number 31, Joash said to all that stood against him, we will plead for Baal. Will you save him? He that plead for him, let him be put to death while it is still morning, if he be a god. Him plead for himself, because no one casts down his altar. Therefore, on that day, he called him Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he had thrown down this altar. In other words, Joash, his father, is saying, if what my son did was wicked, let Baal be the one who takes care of what my son did. For we know Baal cannot, because Baal was made by man's hand. Probably when you looked on the bottom of it, it said made in China, like many of these other idols people serve today. And false gods. But something I want us to look at in verse 32, one of the ultimate reasons why we should celebrate. Therefore, on that day, he called him Jerubbaal. When you get to verses 1 of chapter 7, you see that word one more time. Jerubbaal, whose name was Gideon. Why is that so important? We know the story of Gideon through the rest of this chapter, where they had to go against all of these armies. They started with 32,000 in training to go against all these other armies. God said that's too many. They came back. It's 10,000 left. God still said, that's still too many. Then they went by a water spring and they began to drink water. God said, I want you to pay attention to the men you have. From the beginning of the 32,000, a question was asked, is anybody is afraid to go into this battle, go home. Most of them were afraid, so they went home. The second time, when they were drinking the water, God said, I want you to pay attention. Some are going to kneel down and drink water. And according to verse 6, some are going to lap their hands and pick the water up and lap it like dogs. You see, just like DMX, God is asking us from this text, if you want to be a part of this, if you want me to fight this battle for you, where are my dogs at? You see, because when you're kneeling down, you probably have to put your sword and your shield down. You no longer have your full armor. Now you're kneeling down. You're not paying attention. You have a lot of opening areas for your enemies to attack. But when you jump in the water and lap it like a dog, you're still alert. You're still able to protect yourself. So those who were afraid went home. Those who were not alert went home. We see all throughout the scriptures how we're supposed to be alert. We're supposed to be watchmen. We're supposed to be vigilant. We're supposed to be paying attention and not be asleep. As the end result, 300 went up against many thousands and conquered. But remember from the beginning, God told Gideon, fear not, for I am with you. Not only am I with you, but I will deliver the enemy into your hand. I will get rid of this enemy for you. But remember, I mentioned that name, Jerubbaal. This is so important. If you don't know, the name Jerubbaal means God will fight. So when Gideon and the rest went up into this battle, who do you think was fighting for them? Our Lord. Why is that so important today? Because whatever battle you're going through, if you remain faithful and obedient, understand that God will fight for you. Understand, if God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? And as we look at chapter 7, I want us to look at verse number 18. When you get to chapter 7, I want us to look at verse number 18. When I blow with the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye trumpets. Also, on every side of the camp, say, the Lord, the sword of the Lord and Gideon. Why is this so important? The only thing that these 300 took from verses 8 all the way down to verse 18, which we just read. The only thing they took to battle, they didn't take no shields. They didn't take no spears. They didn't take no swords and knives. The only thing they took to battle was a trumpet and a sack lunch. Why is this so important, brother preacher? What do you need the trumpet for? Because this is to signify celebration. Because we know the Lord is on our side. Because we know the Lord will deliver the enemy into our hand. The Lord is going to get rid of that. Because we are God's children, the Lord is going to be with us. He's going to provide for us. He's going to take care of us. Jehovah Shalom was mentioned in chapter 6. Because the Lord is going to eventually bring peace into our lives. So because of that, we're going to get our trumpets and we're going to celebrate. I said we're going to get our trumpets and we're going to celebrate. We're going to praise God. We're going to live a life understanding, even though we're outnumbered, even though it looks like they may have the best of us. We have the Lord. And if we have the Lord, we have the majority. I stopped by to tell you today, why is it so important to have the Lord? Because there's a day appointed to all of us called death. Three things that we all have in common, from Adam all the way to the end of this world. You're born, you live, and you die. But the most important part is what you do between your birth and your death, the type of life that you live. You see, the body dies. The body goes back to the ground, but the soul continues to live on. And there's going to come a day where Jesus is going to come back, and he's going to judge everybody according to their deeds, good and bad. And based upon the lifestyle that you live, based upon how faithful that you have been, he's even going to say elevator up, elevator down. He's either going to say, Father, they're with me. Or he's going to say, I never knew. In Jesus Christ, there is salvation. In Jesus Christ, we have a reward in heaven. And you can have Jesus Christ a part of your life, understanding that he is the Son of God, that he came and he hung and he bled and he died and rose again according to the scriptures. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. And then come at the end, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 24 and 25, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom, the saints, his people to God, and he must reign until he hath put all enemies under his feet. Do you want to be like these 300? Or do you want to be like those who were delivered into their hands? The choice is yours. The moment you hear the word of God, understand that you must have faith. You must trust in him. Because without this faith, it's impossible to please the Lord. You have to believe. You have to believe in spite of the way things look. And you have to understand, as long as you have faith in God, the end of your story will be a happy ending, no matter what happened in the beginning or the middle of your story or of your life. You have to be willing to say, you know what, even though there's some things I just love and it's hard for me to let go of because I want to make it to heaven, because I want to get right with God, I'm willing to let this go. Because if not, he's going to say, because you were sinful. And if you die in your sins, you can't go where I am. So you have to be willing to let this go. You have to be willing to confess that Jesus is the Son of God and never be ashamed to continue to confess this anytime you get the opportunity and chance. Never be ashamed, because if you deny him before men, he's going to deny you before my Father which is in heaven. When it's time to share God's word, when it's time to praise the Lord and sing some songs, just because you don't sound like Marvin Gaye don't mean you can't praise God. Just because you can't preach like your favorite preacher don't mean you can't teach nobody. Don't mean you can't be a blessing to somebody. And the final thing that puts you into Christ, you see, the children of Israel were God's people through birth. We can be God's people through birth as well, too. Galatians 3:27 says baptism put you in Christ. When you are in Christ, now you have everything that can be a blessing to you. You got the Father, you got the Son, you got the Holy Ghost, and you are able to be saved if you keep living faithful unto death. This is why it's time to celebrate. When things are not going according to your liking, you may be having one of the worst periods in your life at this time. This is the time to get closer to the Lord. This is the time to say, maybe the Lord is trying to show me something. It's time, church. It's time, people. It's time for us to steer this boat around and head in the right direction. I hope this message was encouraging to somebody today. No matter what, no matter how hard life gets, don't give up. Keep the faith. It's time to celebrate. The battle is already won. I'd like to thank you all for taking a few moments and listening to old Brother Wiley speak. Hopefully something I say can be an encouragement to someone today. God bless everyone.
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show.
Is your congregation in need of lending for a building or expansion project? As your partner and advocate, Diversified Financial Network will take the time to understand your unique situation and develop a financing solution that meets your specific needs. It's an exciting time for your congregation, and what you need is a company with expertise in church financing early in the process. Call us today at 1-866-513-6665. Or visit us at www.diversifiedfinancegroup.com.
These are the announcements for the events and activities in the Churches of Christ. If you'd like to have your events or activities announced on this radio broadcast, just contact me at Stephen Deesgate Production Studio at 910-491-6405. Or send me an email to my new email address, butlersteve1009@yahoo.com. Due to the coronavirus pandemic outbreak, I will not be making any public announcements until further notice regarding public meetings or assemblies, but I will be making announcements regarding the events and activities that are happening on social media. On Thursday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, there will be a nationwide gospel call that's sponsored by the Church of Christ in Highland Heights from Houston, Texas. And the telephone number to this call is 857-216-6700. And the access code is 328-497. This is a nationwide outreach to those who are not members of the Churches of Christ, and the speakers will present a basic salvation message for them to learn what they must do in order to be saved. Also, information regarding the Churches of Christ. It is also intended to strengthen and edify the faith of those who are Christians. On Tuesday, the Delcrest Church of Christ from San Antonio, Texas presents the Women's Virtual Bible Class at 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, and that'll be on www.zoom.com. And the class ID number is 821-3692-8262. On Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the Churches of Christ Ministries presents the Virtual Sermon Series 101, and the theme is entitled Timeless Truth in Truthless Times, live on Facebook and on YouTube. Also on the YouTube channel, Somebody Must Come Preaching. And for more information, just contact the Arlington Road Church of Christ at www.arlingtonroadcoc.com and Hilltop Church of Christ at www.hilltopcoc.org. Daily at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time, the Ladies in Christ Prayer Line, hosted by the Church of Christ in Lafayette, Louisiana. That telephone number to this prayer line is 605-472-5203. And the access code is 514-859. My co-host Steve Cordo on the Gospel Light Radio Show that airs here on Blog Talk Radio on Thursday evening has a new book entitled God, Grace, and You. And you can order this new book from the 21st Century Christian Catalog. And just a program reminder, Stevie B's New Production presents, we're airing live shows here on Blog Talk Radio on Tuesday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. I'm hosting a live show, What a Word from the Lord radio show, and each week we have a guest speaker from the Brotherhood of the Churches of Christ. We'll be presenting a lesson from the Word of God. Also, we have the Community Corner segment. That segment is designed for small business owners and entrepreneurs who have products and services for our community. Also, I have three co-hosts on this show, Lou Gibbons from the Overland Park Church of Christ in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and Shauna Older. She's with the Great Way Church of Christ there in Nashville, Tennessee. She has the Mid-Tennessee Singles Ministry, Hour of Power, that airs every third Tuesday of the month. Also, my co-host, Isa Muller, who serves with the Helen Street Church of Christ here in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Then on Thursday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, I'm hosting a live show, the Gospel Light Radio Show. And I have eight co-hosts on this show who will be presenting lessons from the Word of God. And each week, I have two of my co-hosts on the air with me. I'm also taking a question from my social media platform on Facebook, call. Shout it out. I'll be posing to one of my co-hosts on that live show. Then on Thursday night at our new time from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8 to 10 p.m. Central Standard Time, I'll be hosting a live show, Stevie B Acapella Gospel Music Blast Radio Show. And on this radio show, I'm playing some of the world's greatest acapella gospel music artists, the Sweet Sounds of Voices. We also have the Story Glory segment every first Friday of the month, where I'm interviewing the artists that we're playing on this radio show. And on April the 2nd, my special guest in the Story Glory segment will be Shalaysia Nail from Dallas, Texas. Also on April the 16th, I'll be counting down my top 20 acapella gospel songs for the month of April. We have a new list for the year 2021. Also, my on-demand episodes, if you can't catch any of these live shows, wherever you're getting your favorite podcast from, just type in Stevie B Media Productions, and you'll be able to see all of the shows that we're producing here on a weekly basis. And I always like to promote some of the major ones, because there are just so many musical platforms that you can go to get podcasts from. But I always like to promote Spotify, Apple iTunes, and iHeartRadio, and Amazon Music, and YouTube, because these are some of the more popular ones. Also, I have a new sponsorship manager. Her name is Michelle Marco from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And if you'd like to be a sponsor for any of these radio shows, you can give her a call at 954-687-4705. I also like to give a shout out to all of my sponsors who are sponsoring these radio shows. We certainly appreciate all of our sponsors. Sharon Norwood from Chicago, Illinois, Bethesda Memorial Funeral Director Cemetery Services out of DeSoto, Texas. Stanley Phillips from Little Rock, Arkansas. Cheryl Marat from Charlotte, North Carolina. Yvonne Blazing Cracker Gooch from Nashville, Tennessee. Melvin Jackson from High Point, North Carolina. Marquise Hallman from Charlotte, North Carolina. Stephanie Booker Wilson from Greensboro, North Carolina. Diversified Financial Network, LLC, out of Dallas, Texas, owned by Mark and Charlotte Carroll. And Ordained Faith Publishing out of Fort Lauderdale, Florida. The three E's of Stevie B's Media Production, it is the objective of this broadcast. We want to educate, we want to edify, we want to encourage you in a study of God's Word. And that will conclude our program announcements. The Community Corner is coming up next. Stay tuned for What a Word from the Lord radio show.
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show.
Alright, true worshipers. It's time to forget about all the trouble the devil's brought in our life. Give it over to God. Yeah. I want you to know right now it's his time.
We gotta give him praise.
Let everybody worship.
Come on.
The Lord.
Let's worship.
Oh, come on, saints, he's worthy.
Eradicate
from your mind
everything, everything,
all the pain,
all the pain,
and suffering.
Let your troubles make
you
worthy of the glory, giving the praise, yeah. Oh, together we can.
Everybody
oh, worship
the Lord.
I don't know about you, but it has shown up good to me. So when your troubles come, just hold on, got some change in hand.
You might have brought some trials. You might have brought some tribulations here this morning. You might be feeling a little weary, but I came to tell you.
Praise God for you. God for you, brother. That's it.
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show. The Community Corner.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Community Corner is designed to just simply tell our listeners just what products and services are being offered in our communities and how you can contact the various vendors for their services. Ladies and gentlemen, you'd be surprised to know just what products and services that people have to offer that are sitting right there among us in our congregations. And this is one of my favorite segments, because we get a chance to hear just what some of the things that people are doing around us to serve in our community. We've had people on this show who are involved in financial services, legal services. We've had authors, college consultants. We've had professional boxers who are community activists. We've had NFL stars, casting producers on this television show, farmers, comedians. You name it, we have had them on this radio show. So I'm certainly grateful for everyone who's come our way on this Community Corner. Now, on tonight's Community Corner, my special guest is Cassandra Farmer from Gastonia, North Carolina. She's the author of a new book, Life, Love, and Legacy. Cassandra, welcome to the Community Corner.
Good evening. Thank you for having me.
Yes, ma'am. Now, before we get you talk about your book a little bit, why don't you give us just an overview about yourself, what would you like our listeners to know about yourself and some of the things that you're involved in?
Okay. Well, first off, again, I am Cassandra Farmer, a.k.a. Coach Cassie. I happen to be a mother of two, a single mom of two. That is my most precious position. And I'm an educator. I'm also an inspirational life coach certified and a new author. So I serve actually in the surrounding communities, Gastonia, Shelby, North Carolina, which is home for me. I was born and raised in Light Oak community and also Charlotte area. Those areas are precious to me. That's pretty much where I've worked most of my life. But I'm also a Ram. I'm from Winston-Salem State University, graduated there. And so it's just been... for me, a part of my journey, I've met so many people along the way throughout this journey. I have been able to actually connect with several people who've gone through some of the same things I have throughout this life of mine, which I'll share in a few moments. So it's just a gist of who I am. I have a heart for people. I have a heart to give back definitely to the community, because so many gave to me throughout my years and the trials that my family has gone through. So I'm so glad that you have this segment. I am.
Well, I'm an Aggie, so you know them Rams are rivals for us.
What
about that? Yes, we certainly appreciate you coming our way on the Community Corner. Now, tell me, what is that inspired you to write your new book, Life, Love, and Legacy?
Well, this book, Life, Love, and Legacy, A Journal of Inspiration, Elevation, and Healing, what sparked really and truly this fire happened years ago, which is beginning with the death of my mother, Sheila Elaine Farmer. She happened to be 19 years old when she was killed at the hands of my father in front of me.
Wow.
And so thank you. For me and my family, it just felt, especially for me and my brothers, just the two of us, it felt as if throughout those years her voice was silenced, because domestic violence, you know, no matter who you are, no matter your race, no matter your economic status or whatnot, it has everyone. I'm pretty sure that all of us know someone that it has affected, along with the mental health piece where, you know, we did not have the therapy throughout that time that we really should have gotten. My grandmother who reared us, my maternal grandmother and grandfather spoke throughout those years about how our family really and truly should have really gotten more help when it comes to therapy. It's healthy to do that. But, right. You know, in our community, it's not something that we tend to do.
Right. Well, you know, it would appear now that more people are opening up to mental health therapy now. You see, even see it online being advertised now, where people are virtually meeting with counselors online for that. Yeah, thank God for that. Yes.
Yes. So I found that there are many virtual resources, you know, of course, during this pandemic that people have access to now, which is really a blessing. And quite honestly, even for myself, with going through this process of writing this book, you know, alone it was therapeutic for me because thank goodness the editor that I had at the time also promoted that, you know, a good mental health. And we spent some times and sessions together in just me having to relive those moments. You know, she really helped me through a lot of that process. So
now how long did it take you to write this book?
Well, you know, naturally, a person that's just simply writing a book from beginning to end, it may be a matter of months for them. But for me, the traumas that took place in my life and all of the events that I had to relive, which my family has had to relive for years, it took me a year and 2 months to write this book. Wow. There were moments I had to stop. I couldn't write because I had to spend a day or two trying to get myself together just to go back into that place.
Right.
You know, and yeah, it was tough.
So tell my listeners now, how can they get this book?
Well, my book is available through Amazon on all platforms, pretty much through Amazon. It's open on all markets. And you can also purchase through me personally. I'm there. I have my own page there on Facebook as well as Instagram, but normally you'll find me with Cassandra Farmer, as Cassandra Farmer, and most people inbox me through Cash App or PayPal. You can actually get the book there with me autographing it for you for $25.
I actually like the cover of your book. You have a real nice cover.
Thank you so much, Sherilyn Bennett. I have to call her name. She is my brand manager. She is a celebrity brand manager. She happened to design the book, and I also have to call out the name of Michelle Flowers. We call her Mish. She took that photo. She's a photographer. And
just
awesome women. Thank you so much. My editor who helped me is Almina Mays. She is a writing coach, and she also ghostwrites. So she's also a beautiful resource. Yes.
Well, I'm getting ready to publish a book, so maybe I need to talk to somebody. No, I have an editor.
So
I have a publisher. I have a publisher already. So
good.
Yeah.
It's important to get your story out.
Yeah. Hey, now, how much is your book?
$25. It's $25 if you're getting an autographed copy through me. But on Amazon, it's $22. I think it's $22.99, and the Kindle version is $9.99.
So, now, is there a lot of pictures in your book? So you know I like pictures.
No, not really a lot of pictures except for the center. In the center of my book, you'll find my family. But no, you won't have a lot of pictures.
So you got to use your imagination, huh?
Well, what happens is I'm hoping I did well enough.
Right.
I hope I did well enough so that when you start reading, you know, you have your cup of coffee or what have you and you're relaxing, I want it to feel as if you're in the same room with me and we're having conversation. And from what I'm told with the few that have purchased my book so far, they tell me that they have been able to do just that. It's as if I'm sitting in a room with them, and from the beginning to this point in my life, they're able to connect with me through my book. So, my only hope is reaching out and helping others. That's my main thing because I know I went through a lot. I felt alone, but God was always with me. I really appreciate Brother Wiley's word. I really God was always with me. And that was the only thing that gave me the courage to write this book because I'm very transparent about a lot of the things I went through and a lot of the things that I had done and the consequences, but how God still reached out and just with open arms and held me and helped me to keep going.
Cassandra, certainly want to congratulate you on the publishing of your new book, and I wish you all the success in regards to your endeavors.
Thank you so much. Again, I appreciate you for allowing me to be here with you all this evening. I'm enjoying the show.
It wasn't that bad, was it?
It was not. You're good at what you do. I thank you, CBB. I appreciate
well, thank you.
You.
Thank you so much. Hey, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's Cassandra Farmer from Gastonia, North Carolina. She has a new book, Life, Love, and Legacy. Purchase this book. Support Cassandra's efforts. Thank you, Cassandra, for joining us here on the Community Corner. Certainly appreciate it.
You are so welcome, and thank you again.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. My co-host.
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show.
I seem to have stepped on myself, but Issa Mullins is coming up next after the break. Stay tuned.
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show.
And if you miss me from singing,
sing it.
And you can't find me nowhere,
nowhere.
Come on up to glory,
glory.
I'll be singing the
faith.
Yes, I will. And I know the Lord, He will greet me over yonder. To glory.
Glory,
I'll be praising the
faith. I'll be praising the
faith. Heard a minister say to me, other day, Lord. To glory.
Glory,
I'll be singing the
faith.
Yes, I will, and I know the Lord, He will greet me. Come on up to glory.
Glory.
I'll be praising up
there.
Listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show. Give your attention to the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Now my co-host Issa Mullins and his subject, Never Seen His Face.
Amen, amen. Glory to God this evening. I want to, first of all, Brother Steve Butler, to have me on his podcast this evening. As I get to my subject, I titled it Never Seen His Face. As a young boy, I would often open up my Bible and see pictures of Jesus, and who I saw was a tall white man who looked like Kenny G. Sometimes, depending on the type of Bible, he looked slightly different, but always he was a tall white man that was slim with long flowing hair. And as I grew older, I figured since no one had seen him face to face, these depictions of Jesus Christ were placed in my Bible because this is what artists saw in their minds when they pictured Jesus. I want to address this mysterious question this evening. What does Jesus Christ look like? Brothers and sisters, research on the ancient skeletons in Palestine suggests that Judeans of the time were biologically closer to Iraqi Jews than to any other contemporary population. And thus, in terms of physical appearance, the average Judean of the time would likely have dark brown to black hair, olive skin, and brown eyes. Judean men of the time period were on average about 1.65 meters or 5'5" in height. Scholars have also suggested that it is likely Jesus had short hair and a beard, in accordance with Jewish practices of the time and the appearances of philosophers. But according to Revelation chapter 1, verses 13 through 18, it reads that in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one likened to the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were like white like wool, and white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they were burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters, and in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. In his right hand he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp double-edged sword, and his face was like shining in all of his brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades." My brothers and my sisters, to read this passage, it speaks clear that Jesus possessed thick, curly white hair and had a dark complexion, which is what John saw in his revelation. But to properly go deep into my investigation, I am going to need another witness and another testimony. Let us turn to the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I'm also going to call to the witness stand King Nebuchadnezzar, along with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel chapter 3, 16 through 28. Daniel chapter 3, 16 through 28. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. And if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy God, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat up this furnace one seven times more than it was ever to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the middle of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flames of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste and spake, and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the middle of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the middle of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the first is fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they came forth of the midst of the fire, and the princes and governors and captains and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, who had sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they may not serve nor worship any god except their own God. My brothers and sisters, according to Daniel 3, verse number 25, King Nebuchadnezzar, because of his anger, had his furnace heated 7 times hotter than it had ever been, and then ordered that his men take these three men and throw them into this fiery furnace. And instead of burning up upon entering this fiery furnace, they were just walking around in his furnace of death, and then he saw four men walking in the middle unharmed, and the fourth man to him looked like the Son of God. And if the king were still alive today, he would tell you that the fourth man looked like salvation and power. Irregardless of what he had planned for these three men, Jesus and Jesus only could deliver and did deliver these men. It brings me to Genesis 50, verse number 20. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring it to pass, and is this day to save much people alive. Tonight, my brothers and sisters, if we could hear from these three courageous men, and if you would ask them what Jesus looked like, they would say he looked like a deliverer. There was only one man that could walk into that fire with them and deliver them right on time. According to 1 Thessalonians 1 and 10, it says, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. They would also probably say that he looked like the King of Kings. The earthly carnal king had sentenced them to death, and the true king had their case dismissed. Amen. I'm talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. According to Revelation 17 and 14, it reads that these will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them because he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And those who are with him are the called and chosen and faithful. Brothers and sisters, is there anyone on the line tonight that needs to be delivered, and not by an earthly king, because even though there are some wonderful, intelligent, powerful people down here on this earth, there was no one that can show up and no one that can deliver like the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Before I begin to bring this lesson to a close, I need to call on one more person. I need one more person to take the witness stand. Just one more man to witness to us this evening about what Jesus looks like. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples, and he went to the high priest. I'm in Acts chapter 9, verse number 1 and 2, and asked for him letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Verse number 5 says, "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." And he replied, "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless, and they heard the sound but did not see anyone. Paul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus, and for 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias, and the Lord called to him in a vision. "Ananias, yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him that go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hand on him to restore his sight. "Lord," Ananias said, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said, "Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and the kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you might see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. And he got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. Now, brothers, my brothers and my sisters, we refer back to Acts 9, verses 3-5. We are witnessing an amazing, extraordinary, supernatural conversation between Saul and a bright, shining light from heaven. And that light identified itself as Jesus. And after experiencing that light and hearing the command from that light, Saul traveled to Damascus and began his conversion from the Christian chasing, arresting Saul into the epistle writing, long-suffering, encouraging, loving, believing, and faithful Paul. Now, my brothers and sisters, if we were to ask my brother Paul, what did Jesus look like? He would tell you that maybe you need to turn over to John 8 and 12. And he looked like the light of the world. And it says, "I am the light of the world. And whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." John 8 and 12 says it. He looked like a door. And it reads, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and find pasture." John 10:9 refers that he looked like the way. And Jesus answered and he said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Excuse me, that was John 14:6. And the prior verse was John 10:9. On behalf of one man who has experienced his share of racism, loneliness, exclusion, betrayal, abuse, slander, depression, failure, insecurity, and fear. My brothers and sisters, I have come to see his face on more than one occasion, and I cannot leave you this evening without telling you how he looks to me. I'm going to tell you, to me, he showed up in the middle of my persecution, and he looked like a sacrifice. 1 John 4:10 said that this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for sin. My brothers and sisters, when I could not find anywhere or anyone that could understand my mind and quiet the pain and the voices of regret and self-hate, he appeared unto me, and he looked like peace. According to John 14:12, it says that peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives to you, I give to you, but let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it not be afraid. And according to John 16:33, these things have I spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, that I have overcome this world. When I had to go and deploy to a war zone and put my life on the line, when my boots hit the ground, I became afraid. But Jesus showed up again for me, and I'm going to tell you what he looked like on that day. He looked like my protector. According to Psalms 4:8, but lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, maketh me dwell in safety. According to Psalms 55:18, he has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many against me. I know right now the world needs a lot of fixing, and there seems to be so much paranoia, pain, persecution, and plague. But I know of a man who wants to feed us and be our daily bread. John 6:35 says, then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. So many, many people are looking all over this world for hope and security. They are looking for a man to fix things and for a man to make it all right. But I want you to know that men fail, but there is one who can't fail, never fail, and will always lift you up when you fail. Even when we deny him and refuse to ignore him, continuously he holds out his arm to receive us back in love. My brothers and sisters, have you been bound by your addictions, your self-medications, loneliness? Have you been a victim of abuse? Have you been betrayed by a loved one? Are you suffering from the shame of your past? Have you been shackled to sadness? Have you been locked up by loss or jailed by your rage and bitterness? I'm talking about there is one who can set you free. John 8:36 says, So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. As I bring this lesson to a rapid close, I end with this. At the end of the day, whether your skin is white, brown, black, beige, cream, purple, or ashy gray, in the end, when you shut your eyes on your deathbed, we all want to be saved. And while we are here on this earth, we want to need a Savior who loves us unconditionally and constantly pleads our case in heaven. My Savior wants to save you right now tonight. If you have put on baptism and a member of the Lord's church, but you have sinned or strayed, you can now repent of your sins and be made new. But if you haven't put on the Lord in baptism, on the day you hear the word, harden not your heart. It is obtainable in five simple steps: to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. Romans 10 and 9 says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And Acts 2:38 says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent and be baptized. You can do it tonight and be made new. I want to thank you for once again listening to me, and thank you, Brother Steve Butler, for giving me a platform so that hopefully tonight I've said something to make someone examine themselves. God bless you and have a wonderful week. Amen. Thank you.
I know, Lord.
I know the Lord.
He'll take care.
Take care
of me.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
he will.
I know the Lord.
I know the Lord.
He'll take care of me.
Oh,
call on you,
oh,
and you step
yeah.
in right on time.
Oh, yeah.
I know the Lord,
He'll take care.
Take care of me.
Oh, yeah.
When
he will.
Lord, I'm trying every day to walk in the right way. My. It gets hard on this road. It gets so rough. Tell him how he took care of you.
Sometimes I gave all by mistake. Lord, I don't know, just don't know what to do. I start to look back over my life. And in your word, I know you'll see me through. No.
He'll take care.
I remember not long ago.
He'll take care.
When it seemed like I lost everything but my
he'll
mind.
He'll take care of
me. And I need a friend.
He'll take care.
A friend I could call on.
He'll take care.
In the late midnight hour.
He'll take care.
So I called on the Lord.
He'll take care.
And let me tell you what I found out.
I know the Lord.
See, I know the Lord.
He'll take
care of me.
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for spending a little time with us this evening in a study of God's Word. I want to thank both of my speakers on the broadcast this evening, Jason Wiley, and also my co-host, Issa Mullins. Did an outstanding job. Both messages were great. I just love hearing the proclamation of the gospel of Christ, especially during the midweek. We don't have to wait. We don't have to wait, ladies and gentlemen, to be fed the word of God, because we are producing that right here on this broadcast each week. So I want to thank both my speakers for their excellent jobs in making their proclamation of the gospel of Christ. I also want to thank my guest in the Community Corner, Cassandra Farmer. She has a new book out entitled Life, Love, and Legacy. So contact Sandra and get a copy of that book and support her efforts as well. We appreciate all of our guests who will come in to this show on a weekly basis. I certainly appreciate everyone who participates on the show this evening. What a blessing it is to be able to put on a show such as this. It is my prayer that the lessons that were presented this evening have been beneficial to your spiritual lives, and your relationship with the Lord has been strengthened, because you're not only tuning into this radio show, but you've given yourself over to a study of God's word. So until we meet again, I pray God's continued blessings upon your lives, and that he bless you real, real good. You've been listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show. And on behalf of my co-hosts, Issa Mullins, Shauna Otis, and Lou Gilberts, we really do appreciate your love and support for these radio programs. I'm your host, Stevie R. Butler. Good night, everybody. God bless you.
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show.
King of kings and Lord of lords, he will hear your
praying for you, oh, for
sacred room,
thinking of you.
From the Lord Radio Show, episode 192.
Say, yeah, there's no better state to be in. Say, yeah, say, yeah, there's no better state to be in. Say, yeah.
Confess, I feel somewhat guilty in my happiness. There's a bubbling spirit in me. Some wonder how can he smile?
Joy. Fall.
How he
God
reached into the darkest black and found me.
In spite of
God gives us unmerited favor. Amazing grace as much with despair. Love far too high to compare. It's there because I'm saying there's no better state to be in.